that gives us a sense of being able to be empowered in spite of what we're having as being the apparent condition and circumstances of our life. So when our life looks and feels against us, we have to remember it is mirroring our own disconnect. We're living separate and apart from a dimension of ourself that once we're connected, we can feel like we can be present to whatever we're having and not feel diminished by it. Isn't that not what we're after when it comes to our really feeling empowered?
Yes.
And so if we're not cultivating that, it's not going to happen by accident. And so part of our effort as a community is to come together and be able to look at what the ancients have been trying to tell us, what the indigenous people have been living for eons, and what we're trying to wake up to and realize that the world that's happening around us is an effect of the disconnect. It's an effect of living in the story of separation. And we have to fix that. And we can't fix the world, but we have to fix the part of ourself that is living separate and apart from the truth of us. And so part of that effort is to really engage in a depth of spiritual practice that opens up that dimension that lives in another context other than our head. And so we talked last time about the five steps of asking our heart a question. This is a concept that's embedded in the heart math material. How many are familiar with heart math? Many of you are. We looked at Greg Braden bringing forth this concept that the heart has an intelligence that we can access, and that if we're in the practice of accessing our heart, we begin to activate this center. And the activation of the center brings online, in other words, it brings into our consciousness a capacity to have a context for how we're having our life that's independent of our brain. Imagine such a thing. Being able to have a context for how we're having our life that lives separate and apart from all of our programming and conditioning. But yet we have to consciously access that in order to get that perspective. And so we looked at these five steps, focusing on our heart, moving our attention from our head to our heart space, to actually physically connect our awareness to now we're going to be developing this center, opening this center. And then beginning to regulate our breath, slowing it down. And as we breathe about 7 breaths per minute, we begin to neurologically begin to balance our parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems. And then as we generate a felt sense of rejuvenating feelings, whether it be care, compassion, gratitude, empathy, love, we begin to activate this dimension of our heart that has as its foundation an intuitive center. And that's when we can ask the question and then begin to listen for a response. But this is not something just to try, like as if you're going to try a vitamin. I'll try a vitamin. Nothing much happened. Well, no, it becomes a part of what we have to engage as a practice in order for it to have life. Now, what I didn't mention last time is heart math and David MacArthur and us, we have a relationship. David MacArthur was a former minister of Unity Spiritual Center back in, I believe, 1989 through 1994. He was also one of my classmates. And so we're kind of cut from the same cloth. But anyway, David invited Jane and I to his ministry in Walnut Creek, and he led us privately through our own course of heart math. And then later, Jane became a certified heart math instructor and facilitator. And so our passion around opening and using this heart is something that has been long-lived in Jane's practice. It's only recent in mine since I've been exposed to Dr. Joe Dispenza and his meditative practices. He always focuses on opening the heart before we get into our meditation processes. And so for me, this dimension of really talking about our heart is really come alive in the sense of understanding the science behind this, because to be quite frankly, you know, Jane was passionate about the heart, but you know, I'm a guy, you know, guys are kind of wired a little bit differently, you know, we have to kind of have to move things in order to feel stuff. Anyway, Jane would always say, don't discount how simple this practice is because it is so important. And I have to agree that it is so important, so integral to my spiritual well-being that I am now wanting to take the time to explain why and to share some of the science behind it. So I have a little movie by Greg Braden that explains a little bit about why it's important for us to reconsider why the heart, as an energy center, also as a vital source of our capacity to tap into a dimension that I'll describe in just a little while. But before I get into that, I'm wanting us to look at how Jesus framed this dimension of ourself that is all about the heart. You know, he said, you know, you could say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and if you believe in your heart, it shall be done unto you. And so this whole idea of moving mountains that requires a dimension of our heart, of course, the mountain is a metaphor, but what Jesus is trying to describe is that there's a capacity within each of us, a power to remove any obstacle, and it resides in our heart. Another bit of scripture, which is a favorite of mine, that has to do with our bringing into our life prayer and understanding that whatsoever we ask in prayer, believing that it has already come to pass, it shall be ours. Well, first of all, our head doesn't go there. It doesn't believe that something's already come to pass when it doesn't have any evidence. So this teaching is not for our head to believe that something's here when it's not. But our heart is a different story. You see, our heart is already connected to all of the possibilities. So it already knows it has received that which we're asking for in prayer. But we have to receive it first in our heart before it comes alive in our outer experience. And then in Jeremiah we find, you know, if you want to see God, you have to seek God with all of your heart. Once again, we cannot find God through our head, through our thought processes. No thought of God is God. But when we access our heart, we connect to the dimension of our being that is in God, as God. The same sense that God is source is that dimension within us that we have access to through our hearts. And so now I'm going to share, this idea that when we understand the unique differences between our brain and our head and our heart, we can understand why we have to begin to kind of balance our way of understanding what's happening in our life with the influence of our heart. Because our head is just going to be looking out at life and gathering evidence as to why things aren't happening the way it's supposed to. Our head doesn't look out at life and gather evidence of our worth. Our head does not do that. Our head does not look out and gather evidence of our abundance. Our head does not do that. Our head gathers evidence as to why we're not enough and to why things aren't working. This is just the nature of what our conditioned response to life is. But yet when we add the dimension of our heart, our heart lives in a different context of our head. Our heart is not burdened by any thought in our brain. Any belief that we have, our heart, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make a difference to our heart because our heart doesn't have that context. Our heart only knows oneness. Our heart only knows connection. Our heart only knows unifying. And so while our head is all about predict and control and focusing on what's happening out here, our heart is here. Bring it on. Bring it to me. And so if we don't understand this dimension of ourself, that is the heart, that's more than just the physical pump, we are not actualizing our capacity to really help our awareness and help our faculties really make the most out of any situation as opposed to have any situation be against us. Okay, now here's the movie.
Every human, everyone listening today, I'm going to speak to you directly again, you have in your heart approximately 40,000 specialized cells that are like brain cells, but they're not in your brain. They're in your heart. They're called sensory neurites. So they are brain-like cells in the heart. They are concentrated in such a degree that they actually call this the little brain in the heart. So what does this mean? This isn't a metaphor. And I was just in Europe, and many of the people there, they said, well, you know, this is a metaphor, right? You're using this as an analogy, and I'm saying, no, this is literal. These neurites in the heart, the little brain in the heart, they can learn independently from the neurons in our brain. They can think independently from the neurons in our brain. They can remember independently from the neurons in our brain, and they communicate with us separately from the neurons in our brain in a language that we may or may not recognize. Because we are conditioned to see the world through our brain, and if we're lucky, at some point in our adult lives, we get to connect with our hearts. So we have now access to these sensory neurites. We can work with the brain independently of our heart, and I think most of us know how to do that very well. We can work with the heart independently of the brain. Scientists say it's all about the brain, forget about the heart. And many, I've been around a lot of my friends who say it's all about the heart, forget about the brain. They actually chastise the brain, you know, the left brain is this bad thing. But here's what the science is showing us. Both of those ways of viewing ourselves are incomplete. When we marry the heart and the brain together, when we harmonize the heart and the brain, this is the extended neural network that makes us different from all other forms of life. This is where our deepest empathy, compassion, intuition comes from.
So they now even have a new field of study called neural cardiology. It's the study of the brain and the heart. And they're discovering that this brain has the capacity to regulate our emotional state. Let's think of it this way. The language of the head, of our brain, is thoughts. The language of the heart is emotion, feeling. And so when we're able to generate strong, elevated emotions, it helps and train the entire physical self and all of our systems and processes to a kind of coherence that generates this kind of dynamic. This is a computer-generated representation of what actually can be measured as the heart's electromagnetic field. Now, this is the field extended when a person is demonstrating or experiencing heart-centered coherence. The field collapses when there is not heart-centered coherence. And I'm wanting you to imagine now that we walk in and out of each other's electromagnetic fields. And when we're incoherent, our incoherence becomes modulated by the incoherence that surrounds us. But when we're coherent, when we're heart-centered, we have this energetic field that surrounds us, we can be in the incoherence that surrounds us and not be affected by it. But we have to generate this field, you see. And so the generation of this field, as I mentioned, happens by virtue of our intentionally cultivating in certain felt states. And so as you see in this graph, it's measuring heart rate variability. Our heart rate varies, and as it varies, puts out a kind of signal or a kind of pulse. And so if you can imagine, if the pulse or the signal is frustration, how does frustration inform our brain? How does frustration inform our ability to think through and see perspectives and understand what's going on? But at the same time, the lower graph shows gratitude or appreciation. And as you can see, this creates a very coherent waveform. Now imagine that coherence informing our thought processes, informing what we must decide or what we must move towards. And so there's a different dimension that we access within ourselves just by managing our own state. Here is another graph that shows all the various body processes, respiratory system, endocrine system, immune function, all the different functions of the body. Once a person goes into coherence, all the systems in the body reflect that kind of coherence, and that's called entrainment. Entrainment was discovered through the invention of the pendulum clock. When the pendulum clock was created, they had a wall of clocks, and they started all the clocks, and over time, all the clocks would be swinging to the largest pendulum. And so they discovered this by accident. And so what happens in the body, because the heart is the largest physical oscillator, that pumping creates a kind of harmonics that begins to entrain all the body's systems into a kind of coherence. And here's an example of this. This little movie that I've got coming up next is going to show you a demonstration of a kind of quick coherence, or what happens when entrainment occurs if it plays. It's only 1 minute. This takes 4 minutes to do in real time. There's usually one in any crowd. I know which one this is. Almost there. Okay, so the idea here is that when we have entrainment, the whole body begins to happen as if it's one being. When we don't have entrainment, our brain becomes compartmentalized. The left side and right side kind of operate as if one foot is on the gas and one foot is on the brake. And so when we come into entrainment, which can happen within seconds by just doing that breath technique and focusing on your heart and generating elevated emotions, that can happen very quickly, and we can instantly access the dimension of ourself that can give us a perspective that's not tethered to our thinking mind. This next slide that I have for you, it'll come up, technology is very slow today, is a description of what happens when we become heart-centered. Prior to becoming heart-centered, we live typically by the hormones of stress, which means our sympathetic nervous system, which controls our fight-flight instinct, and the parasympathetic nervous system, which tends to balance us, brings us back down to normal, is offline because we're so focused on the outer. When we're so focused on the outer, guess what happens? Digestion stops. Our immune system shuts off, and we stop generating saliva. Now, we don't notice that. We just start drinking more water when our mouth gets dry, and we just take more antacids, more stuff for our stomach, for our gut, you see. Our gut shuts down. And by the way, our gut is our third brain. Our heart has 40,000 neurons. Our brain has 200 million. Our gut has 100 million neurons in it. And when we live by the hormones of stress, we shut that off. And when we become heart-centered, quick coherence quickly shuts off the sympathetic nervous system, turns on the parasympathetic nervous system, which slows things down. Our digestive system turns on. Our immune function comes back online, and our saliva starts producing. 1 minute of recalled anger can shut down your immune system for 6 hours. Of recalled anger, not the heat of the moment. And so this is imperative, especially when we see that most of the preventable diseases are caused by stress. And as we begin to regulate our own capacity to be resilient in the presence of challenging moments, and we practice using the heart, we will find that we can be with whatever we're having and not be diminished by it. And consequently, if we can be with whatever we're having and not feel diminished by it, we can use what we're having as our abundance. We cannot use what we're having as our abundance through our head alone. Okay, I have to move on. So, we hear in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so while we say, yeah, that makes perfect sense, we don't necessarily have the experience of what this means. And so I'm wanting us to see, or I'm wanting us to sense that seeing God, let us say, whatever that is, it equates into some sense of valuing and knowing our own worth. Would you not agree? That if we were actually to see God, we could not do that unless we were absolutely clear as to knowing our own worth. And that's what it means to be pure in heart. As a matter of fact, the saying coming from the Greek, the Greek word, if it comes up, pure is katharos, which means without guilt. So when we are without the kind of veil that is a veil unto our own essence, the truth of who we are, which is what our heart knows, then we're capable of seeing in our life a field of infinite possibilities, as opposed to someone or something against us. And if we don't know that, that's already hardwired. We have that already. We don't have to go get it. We just have to activate it. And in the activation of that experience, the blessing of it. So I'll leave you with this. Don't believe a word I say about any of this, first of all. But if you want to experience it, the steps are this. Establish a routine of cultivating heart-centered coherence. Bless you. Just take those five steps and just practice that. Yeah, practice asking your heart a question, because you got to activate that, and it's got to be real, and you've got to be authentic about that. Identify what you need to see about yourself that will activate dormant possibilities. So when you're involved and engaged in your heart, you need to discover your own worthiness. That has to be a part of the question. Ask your heart to reveal to you how it is that you're worthy. I can't tell you what you experience, but when you ask your heart that, you'll have an experience. Okay, practice connecting to your heart during crucial conversations or prior to resolving any difficult issues. Before you get into any conversation, get heart-centered first. Before you attempt any kind of thing that has some level of being integral to your life, get heart-centered first. And then you go into it with your whole being, as opposed to just the head that has as its agenda to be safe. And then finally, practice becoming heart-centered in preparation for meditation. So as I look into this series about don't believe a word I say, I'm going to have to talk about my experience in meditation. And I can't talk about that experience until you've had some practice in experiencing what heart-centered coherence can do for you. So that's all I have to share today. And once again, a reminder, after the service today, Jane and I have to leave immediately to go see Wayne and Jackie. So God bless you. Thank you so much for your attention. Appreciate it.
Wow, thank you, Gary. What a year it's going to be. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, for we know that there is only one power, one presence, and one life. So whoever you are and wherever you are on your journey of transformation, you are welcome here. We would especially like to welcome anyone who is here for the first time. If this is the first time with us, Feel free raising your hand. Our ushers have a gift packet for you. Is there anyone here? Oh, great. Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. A couple of them. On the outside of the packet, there is a form that you can fill out to be added to our mailing list for our weekly e-news update and our quarterly newsletter. If you are interested, please fill it out and drop it in the love offering bag as it comes instead of giving a donation today. Also, after the service, you can take your packet to our barista stand and get a free beverage of your choice, or you can take it and you can take it to the bookstore to receive a CD of today's talk. If you have any questions, again, please feel free to approach anybody with a yellow scarf, and you can also do the purple scarves too. They work too. If you didn't fill out a name tag, we'd love it if you would. It's in the seat back so that we can have a conversation with you. So, and we also want to welcome our online viewers, and thank you for joining us this morning. And now is the time to welcome and greet everyone with a handshake, a hug, a high five, a wave, or a namaste. Whatever works for you. Please stand, and we will sing our welcome song.
All right, we're going to sing We're All Friends Here. Please stand up and join us if you can.
We are all friends here. There are no strangers.
want to walk inside that door. We're not gonna need to be heard. Won't you fill our hearts for you? You are so kind. We are all friends here. There are no strangers once you walk inside that door. We're not gonna need to be heard.
Never know when he's gonna stop. Good morning, my name is Jim Sledge and I have the privilege of being the treasurer on your board of trustees, and this is the time in our service where we appreciate and welcome your financial contributions to this wonderful place we call Unity Spiritual Center. Where else do you hear a message like you just heard? This place is just so special. It's great. In preparation for the town hall meeting coming up, after tomorrow night's board meeting, that's what it is. I knew I was supposed to do something tomorrow night. Yeah. I will be posting the 2019 budget. So if you have any interest or have ever wondered where all of the funds that need to go to keeping this place going, that will be something you should be able to look at. And it'll be posted over there on the bulletin board by the table where we have our treats. So please take a look at that and bring those information and those ideas and questions to the town hall meeting. So now let's take into our heart the idea of generosity and gratitude as we share our prosperity blessing. I know that my giving blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I give and receive. I give thanks for the abundance that is mine to share, and so it is.
Got a great song for you going into 2019. This song is called Little Bit by a guy named Perry Lamb. And there's a really neat part that goes, oh. And that's your part. So. Listen to it and then sing, oh. We tried to keep the words as simple as possible.
Oh,
Service as well as this service, connection. Wasn't that connection? Yes. All right. We give thanks for these gifts and for those who have given them as we send them forth to bless our world. We bless the hands that these gifts went through and where they will go on to. And so it is. Thank you. And as we are giving thanks today for these gifts, at Unity Spiritual Center, we want to take time to thank those in service to our ministry. And today we're giving thanks for our money stewards. And that is anybody that helps with that process that just happened now, in counting it, in taking care of it, in blessing it, and sending it on. And that's a lot of our board members, but I'm sure there are other people too. So has anybody ever participated in doing that? Yeah, wave your hand. Yes, wave your hand. Lots and lots of people. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's give them a big round. Thank you. And so today, right now, our chaplains are Al and Gary. Yes, yes, and thank you. And they have purple shawls on. We've been wearing the shawls to help it make it a little more identifiable that they are available down here after service. And if you have a prayer need, a prayer celebration, please join with either one of them this morning. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. They've also been holding the presence, and I tell you, that's a very sacred thing to be able to do. And you experience the service completely different. So if you're interested in the chaplain program, please sign up. So, and also if you have a prayer request, please be sure and fill out the form that's in your seat back and put that in the prayer, what's that called? Prayer box. Prayer box up front or one in the foyer. And also if you know of someone who is in the hospital and has requested a visit from a chaplain or a minister, please fill out the green sheet for that. So now, and one of the things I want to mention, too, is that we get to pray over those prayer requests for 7 days here at the church, and then they get sent on to Unity Worldwide for 30 days. We pray on those for 30 days. So, anyway, now I guess it's time. Our children are out there. We are ready.
For this love is our light. We are singing for this love is our light. We are singing for this love is our light. We are singing for this love is our light. We are singing. Oh, we are singing for this love. lovers are right. We are singing. Whoa, we are singing for us lovers are right. We are singing for this joy is our light. We are singing for this joy is our light. We are singing for this joy is our light. We are singing for this joy is our light. We are singing, oh, we are singing, all this joy is our life. We are singing, all this joy is our life.
Let's just take a moment here to look at our future in this beautiful, beautiful. Let's send our blessing to them. Be the love you are. Sing the song you hear. Share your joy of life with people far and near. And for ourselves. Be the love we are. Sing the song we hear. Share our joy of life with people far and near. And so it is. You can go ahead and go back and find your family, the people you came with. Make sure that they're all reunited before all the tall people stand up and they can't see anything. All right, a reminder that Jane and Gary have gone to the hospital to visit with Wayne Green and family, so it is us. So please stand if you are able, and we will start with the prayer of protection and then sing our peace song. The light of God surrounds us. I am the light of God. The love of God enfolds us. I am the love of God. The power of God protects us. I am the power of God. The presence of God watches over us. I am the presence of God. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.